Well, if you want to pick up your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5. As you're doing that, here's a question. If I asked you to take out a piece of paper, I asked you to recite maybe, what is the mission of the Well Community Church? Just think about that, what you would write down or what you would say if I asked you that question. Now, obviously, I'm not talking to many of us who might be guests. I'm talking to those of us who would say, yeah, the Well Community Church, this is my home, you know, the well, this is where I go. Yeah, I've kind of planted myself here. Okay, for those of us who have, what's the mission? What are we doing here? What's our purpose? What's this really all about? If you had to write it down, what's our mission? What is it? Well, if any of you were going to write down or any of you were going to say, well, I know that, the mission of the Well Community Church is to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, you would be exactly right. That's the mission, to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. But what does that mean? What does that mean? Because I think sometimes you can just use it as a kind of a tagline and, hey, the well, hey, helping people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. That's awesome, you know? It helps us remember what we are and who we are, and that's the well. It's more than a tagline. It's not a catchphrase. It's not a slogan. It's not a motto. Our mission is to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. It's our mission. I think actually there were people who probably started coming to the Well Community Church because of that mission statement and because that is what our mission is. I think people look at it and they go, man, I'm looking for a place. Maybe some of you, I'm looking for a place to call home. I'm looking for a place that's going to help me grow and help me get connected to God and to other people in my neighborhood. Hey, look at that. It's their phrase. Hey, maybe I'll try it out. I'll see if that's really what they're all about. And you came here and you found out, yeah, this place really helps me to connect to God and to other people in my neighborhood, other people around me. I love that. Other followers of Jesus, I love that. I tell you what, if that's where it stopped for you, then we missed it. We missed it. Because see, it's not about, that's just the means. That's just a step in order to accomplish the mission. For us, here, for us to be connected to God and to each other in every neighborhood is only for the purpose so we can do the mission. Because the mission, we're not a church. And you can find churches like this where you get together and there's a group of people and you got a pastor and a teacher and a life group leaders and you got the spiritual formation director and you got the WSM director and their staff and you got kids connection leaders and you got these other leaders that we come and we go, oh good, I'm gonna go to this church and those people, that group of people is gonna help the rest of us connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. Good, I'm in. Yes, I'm into that purpose. I'm into that mission. That's why I'm here. But if it just stops with, oh, that's what I can accomplish in my own life, then we totally missed it. Because it's not about a small group of people where you can get together and a smaller group of people helps everybody else in that group be okay. Now, that's great, and we need to do that, but that's only the means to the goal. It's not the goal. The mission is for all of us, every single one of us, to help other people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. You can find a church, I'm sure you can, if you want to find a church that gathers together and does church together. You can find it. I hope that's not us. We want to be, and I hope this is true, we want to be not a group of people that get together and do church together and, hey, we're okay. We want to be, honestly, a movement of people. A movement of people that gathers together simply to be strengthened so that we can scatter and do the mission. So that we can go out here, out and wherever you're at, and help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. It's not about you and it's not about me. But it's our mission. You're thinking, what, that's my mission? Yeah. That's your mission, and that's your mission, and that's your mission, and that's your mission. And anybody here that's saying, I'm a part of this movement here, I'm a part of the Well Community Church, that is our mission. It's your mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. We feel so passionate about that, that for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about our mission. Maybe as a reminder for some of us, maybe for some of us, a little light bulb will go on. But for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at that mission. And if you wanted to kind of think about where we're going, this week we're going to highlight, if you put that statement out there, you would highlight the first part, helping people connect to God. Next week, and to each other. And the third week, we'll highlight in every neighborhood. And we're just going to go through that for the next 3 weeks. So today, helping people connect to God. Our mission is to help people, other people, connect to God. And again, some of us might be going, hold it, you know, I love that mission because I'm being helped, but it's me? Are you talking to me, PJ? Well, are you a follower of Jesus? Well, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, but you don't understand, man. You really don't know who you're asking to do this because I don't know anything. I haven't been through the evangelism classes and I haven't, you know, I don't know all the doctrine and the theology that I need to know. I need to grow myself and grow up a whole lot more. And I've got these things in my life that, man, I'm just learning myself. And you're saying that now I need to go help somebody else. I need help. And I would say again, are you a follower of Jesus? Well, yeah, but I haven't been a follower of Jesus for very long, and I'm just not qualified. That's why we're looking at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Guys, I would just be honest. I don't know if you ever think about this, you ever been asked the question, when you die, go to heaven, you know, and you're in heaven, you see all the other saints there and all the other people that are going to be there, you know, besides Jesus, which is the obvious answer, who do you want to talk to? I think all of us have an answer, you know. Man, I want to talk to Peter, and I want to talk to Paul, and, you know, I want to talk to Adam. What were you thinking, man? Come on. You know, I want to talk to these people, you know, and everybody's got something. I'm telling you, Mark chapter 5 is the guy for me. If I can't talk to anybody else, I want to talk to this guy. He is my hero of the faith. My wife knows this because I talk about him all the time. I love this guy, and I want to talk to him. And I hope at the end of this, you're going to say, man, I like this guy too. And I love him. Not only is he a hero of the faith to me, but probably, maybe because of this, he's such a hero. He's a normal guy. I so relate to this guy. He's an example to me, and I relate to him, and I want to be like this guy. And I hope you do too when we see this. So with that in mind, let's look at it. Mark chapter 5. Verse 1, it says this. We'll just kind of go through, make some comments. As they came to the other side of the sea, that's the Sea of Galilee, and they is Jesus and his disciples. They're in a boat. They come to the other side of the, it's really a large lake, and they to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And we're going to talk about this man. In fact, the next couple of verses talks about this guy who was demon-possessed, who came out of these tombs to see Jesus on the seashore there. And so we see here, I mean, I think the next couple of verses are just showing us how messed up this guy was. He was messed up. Look at it, it says in verse 3. He lived among the tombs. This guy, not only was he demon-possessed, which is kind of scary. You know what else is scary? He lived with dead people. That's where he lived. With these dead people, and doesn't stop there. Look at the next phrase. It says, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Not only is this guy demon-possessed, he's living with dead people in the tombs and the cemetery, but he has superhuman strength. That's scary. A demon-possessed guy with superhuman strength. You find out later, this town, whatever the town was probably closest to it especially, wanted to get rid of this guy. And he was scary. Let's get rid of him. And they tried, and they couldn't do it. Even a group of people, not just one person, but a group of people could not even get this guy and control him. He was that powerful. And then it goes on in verse 5. That's not even the end of it. Night and day among the tombs. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, in the hills, surrounding the lake there, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. He'd get these sharp rocks and just cut himself all over his body. Can you imagine just all the scars and all the cuts and all the blood and everything else? This guy looked like a wreck, and he was just always screaming, always, night and day. And you know what? It doesn't say it right here, but we find out later on, for me, it's just for me personally, the scariest part of it, he's not wearing any clothes. He's buck naked. I mean, here's this guy, you know, demon-possessed, living in the tombs, cutting himself all over his body, screaming and running around in the hills, buck naked all the time. I mean, this guy, that's scary to me. I can see now why the townspeople, and you probably can too. Can't you see why the townspeople wanted to get rid of this guy? I'd want to get rid of him too. Can you imagine going to this town? Hey, it looks like a nice town. Maybe I'll move here, you know? And you're there and you're talking with somebody in the town there and you're saying, hey, man, hey, tell me about the town. Suddenly you hear this scream because it's going on all the time. This screaming all the time in the distance. And you're like, what is that? Some kind of animal or something out there? And the guy's there, oh, man. Yeah, it's crazy, Larry. He's, yeah, he does it all the time. He's out there. It's crazy, Larry. What are you talking about? Yeah, he's a demon-possessed guy, lives out there in the tombs with dead people and runs around the hill, you know, screaming, and he's naked, and he has superhuman strength. I think I would go, hey, I think it's time for me to move on to the next town. I wouldn't want to live there. I can see why they want to get rid of him. And then some of you might be thinking, PJ, at the very beginning of this, you said that this was your hero, but it's also a person that you relate to. And I think maybe some of us are going, PJ, I really don't know that I don't think I know you as well as I think I did. You know, what's going on? Look, I can't relate to any of the stuff that the guy was doing, but you know what? I honestly can relate to him. And I think you can too. So, scrape everything else to the side. This guy was being controlled by something that was destroying his life. Isn't that really what was happening? Isn't that true of every single one of us without Jesus Christ? We might not be demon-possessed, but you know, we are controlled by this thing called sin. And sin is our master, and we're a slave to it, and we have not enough power. We are way too weak to break free from it, and it is destroying our lives without Jesus Christ. In fact, in some ways, I think Crazy Larry, I don't know if that was his name, that's just what I call him. In some ways, Crazy Larry here had it better. At least he knew his life was being destroyed. He could see it. There's people out there right now, you guys. They're walking around, they're dead, and they don't even know they're dead. They're out there, and they're slaves of sin, and they think they're free. And their lives are being destroyed so slowly and so deceptively that they don't even see it right now. Maybe they will, just like many of us saw it. But that's the truth. Every single one of us is Crazy Larry without Jesus. And you know what's also similarity is what happens next. Because those of us who met Jesus, what happened? Things changed. It wasn't the same after that. And it's not the same for Crazy Larry either. Look what it says in verse 6. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And this is actually the demons controlling Larry. I'm just going to call him Larry. This is the demons controlling Larry here. And he runs and falls down on his knees before Jesus. And then it says, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, and this is actually the demon inside of him, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. He yelled that. He screamed that at Jesus, begging Jesus not to hurt him. And it says in verse 8, for he was saying to him, this is Jesus talking to this to the demon, come out of this man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what's your name? He's talking to the spirit, this unclean spirit. He says, he replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. Whoa. A legion was a group of Roman soldiers that was probably around 4,000 to 6,000 troops. 4,000 to 6,000 troops. Now, he's not saying that's necessarily the number, but he just says, we called ourselves Legion because there's just so many of us. He wasn't being demon-possessed by one demon or two, but many. I think personally, it kind of implies later on there was at least 2,000. You'll see why. Can you imagine a couple of thousand demons inside us? No wonder his life was like this. And it says this in verse 10. And he begged him, this is the demon that's probably speaking for all the other demons inside of this guy, and he begged them earnestly not to send them out of the country. He's begging Jesus on behalf of these other demons. I love that, because look what it says next. It says, now, this is where it kind of gets a little strange, by the way. If you're going, it hasn't been strange already? But here's where it gets a little strange. Now, a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. That goes into the lake there. So on the hillside, just imagine a big herd of pigs. It says, and they begged him, this is the demons, begged him saying, send us to the pigs. Let us enter them. So he gave them permission. This is what I love about it. Some people go, hey, why, you know, did Jesus just not like pigs or whatever, you know, and why do you let him go into the pigs? You guys, that's not even the point here. The point is this, a legion of demons could do nothing unless they had whose permission? Jesus' permission, the authority that Jesus had here is just being shown. His power and his authority over even thousands of demons. It's awesome. Can we please be excused? Please? And he says, yeah, go ahead. And he gave them permission. That's the only reason why they could do anything. And it says, and the unclean spirits, at the rest of verse 13, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, that's why I'm saying at least one, probably one unclean spirit per pig, a numbering 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. This is crazy. Imagine it just for a second, just so we can kind of understand what's going on here. Maybe picture it. Picture it from the pigger's point of view. And when I say pig, sheep have shepherds, so I'm guessing pigs have piggards. But I don't know what you call them. I never wanted to be a piggard, so I don't know. You know, I can imagine the job. Like, hey, what a boring job. You know, hey, one's getting away. Don't worry, I'll get it. Yeah. Right. There you go. Is it lunchtime yet? I don't know, you know. But these piggards are up there, and they're watching these pigs. And maybe me and you, we're piggards. Let's just imagine that for a second. And we're on the hillside, and we're just kind of just enjoying the day, whatever. We're looking over the sea, and we kind of see a boat in the distance coming. Hey, look, there's somebody coming over here. Ah, it's a group of guys, looks like in a boat. Do you recognize them? No, I don't know them either, man. They're coming right over here. Looks like they're coming straight for the shore right at the cemetery. Ooh, you know who lives in the cemetery? Crazy Larry. This could be bad. But like a train wreck, we got to keep watching. And so then we go, look at that. He's coming up to the shore and stuff. Oh, the guy in the front there is getting out of the boat. Man, I sure hope that Crazy Larry is not. Oh, no. There he is. He's still naked. And now he goes, he's running right at him. Get back in the boat. Get back in the boat. Oh, man, this is going to be bad. And then suddenly we see something that we never saw ever. Crazy Larry falling to his knees before this other guy. And we go, what is going on? And then we hear him, because he screams this, what do you have to do with me, Son of the Most High God? Please don't torment us. And they're thinking, who is this guy? And they're not talking about Crazy Larry anymore. We're saying, who is this guy? And then as we're watching, oh, look at that. They're talking a little bit more. They're looking up here. Why are they looking up here? Why is Crazy Larry looking up here? Why is that other strange guy looking up here? What, he's waving his arm or something? And then suddenly the pigs go crazy. And I don't know what a demon-possessed pig looks like, you know, foaming at the mouth, the head turning around. I don't know. But they get up, and before we can even do anything about it, they start running right into the lake and all drown. What has just happened here? I would probably do what the piggards did. Which, look what it says. In verse 14, the herdsmen or the piggards fled and told it in the city and in the country. They just left. They ran off and said, and anybody they came across, you wouldn't believe what just happened. And you know what? If I was the townspeople, I'd probably do what the townspeople did too, which is, really? Seriously? No way. And it says, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. We need to see this for ourselves. And then in verse 15, and they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. Just stop there. That is, oh, I totally relate to him. Do you not relate to Crazy Larry? Because every single one of us before Jesus, we were wrecked. We didn't understand what life was about at all. And for the first time in Larry's life, he gets it. He knows what life is about. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus in a relationship with him. He's clothed for the first time in who knows how long, and he's sitting there in his right mind, meaning he sees life the way it was meant to be seen. He understands what it's all about now. Isn't that what happened to us? Every single one of us that came to Jesus Christ, we are now, we're sitting there before him, clothed in our right minds. Before we weren't. Some of us didn't even know it. That's us. And I think to myself, I know what the townspeople are going to do. If I saw that, if I was in the town, I would be like, I'd go up to Jesus and say, thank you, and shake his hand. Thank you so much. What took you so long? We've been trying to deal with this guy for I don't know how long. We didn't even think it was possible to actually cure him. We just wanted to get rid of him. You did even more than what we could imagine could be done. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I could think that the townspeople would say the townspeople were happy or grateful or joyous or whatever. But look what it says. The very next phrase it says, and they were afraid. They were scared. I thought, why are you guys scared? Crazy Larry isn't so crazy anymore. He's fine. He doesn't have the superhuman strength. He's clothed and he's in his right mind. And the problem has been solved. You don't need to be scared of him anymore. And then it hit me. They weren't scared of him. They were scared of the other guy. They were scared of Jesus. Because see, these people only got one little tidbit of knowledge about Jesus. Just a little bit. And it was the part that would make somebody not be attracted to him. You see what it says in the next phrase? It says in verse 16, and those who had seen it, remember the piggards, they saw it. They described it to them, what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. All they knew is that this is a guy who is more powerful than Crazy Larry. That's even worse. And he obviously hates pigs. And who knows if he hates us too. And he's more powerful. I mean, he's already killed 2,000. He's responsible for the death of 2,000 of our pigs. Who knows what he's going to do next? All they saw was his power and authority, and they didn't take the time, which what Larry knew after sitting with him, to take the time to know that he was much more than that. But seriously, if somebody just knows that Jesus is this powerful, authoritative person that wants to control your life, well, that's not very attractive. I don't want that. But when you couple that, which is true, he does want to control your life. Well, when you couple that with knowing that he knows what's best in your life and knows what life is all about even more than you do, and he loves you so deeply that he's going to use all of his power and authority to do what is best in your life and do what you need in your life, then suddenly it changes. Larry knew that. These other guys didn't. And they didn't take the time to get to know it. I get that, man. They just wanted normalcy. We just want our town to be quiet. Now we got this guy, and they were right about this. If Jesus stuck around, it wasn't going to be normal. And that's why they say to him, look what it says in verse 17, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. They begged him, please, will you just leave? We just want to go home and things to be quiet, and we want everything to be back to normal. Will you leave, please? And you know what Jesus did? Okay. I'm not going to force myself on anybody? Okay. I'll go. Sad. But it's really our world around us, you guys. This is the same world that we have. They got this tidbit thing about Jesus, but they don't understand. They don't even know, and they don't even want to get to know. I don't want to hear it. I just get it away from me. I just want my life to be normal. Look at verse 18. It says, as he was getting into the boat, Jesus is getting in the boat now with his disciples, ready to leave. The man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. I get that. Just picture the scene. Here's the people, the townspeople, with their picket signs. Jesus, go home. You know, we don't want you. We don't want to have anything to do with you. You know, go away and stuff. And on this side, he's seeing Jesus, the person who he owes his life to, who he finally knows what life is all about from. I mean, he owes everything to this guy. He's getting in the boat and he's about to leave with his buddies. And I'm looking around, if it was me and if it was you, I think we look around and say, which one do I belong with? Well, not these guys. They don't even get it. They don't even want to get it. Jesus, can I please? And he's begging him, please let me come with you. And I know what Jesus is going to say. You do too. We know Jesus. He's going to say, yeah, get in the boat, man. I mean, seriously, if the boat didn't have enough room, it'd be like, hey, get in the boat. Take my seat. I'll just walk on the water. You know, whatever. Or, you know, if you want, seriously, if it was me, I'd be like, okay, yeah, you get in the boat, Larry. Judas, you belong with these guys. You fit in much better with them. I'm going to upgrade. You know, you're my new 12th disciple, man. Big upgrade. Come on in, man. I go, he would make room for him. He wants people to follow him. Come on, man, be with me. I know that's what he's going to say. And then the next sentence, the next phrase blows me away. Verse 19, the first phrase, and he did not permit him. Jesus, please, can I just go with you? I do not have anything in common with these people at all. I have so much in common with you. I just want to be with you. Let me go with you. And Jesus goes, no. I'm sorry. No. Seriously, if it was me, I'd be like, what? My first thoughts would be, did I get you wrong? I mean, are you not as caring as I thought you were? I mean, do you just kind of do things and then just go? Well, you're obviously not a loner. You got the other guys with you. And, you know, am I just not good enough? I'm not as good as these other guys that get to be with you all the time? Is it because of my past? Is it because of what I look like, you know, with all the cuts and bruises? And I just don't fit in like that. Is that it? I mean, when ultimately what it comes down to is I would go, do you care? Do you care? And I could see Jesus going, yeah, Larry, I do care. Way more than you know. But I don't just care about you. I care about those guys standing behind you that are screaming right now and begging for me to leave. I care about them who don't even understand, who haven't even gotten the time and even heard anything really about me except that I have all this power. I care about them too. And I gotta go. But you don't. You can stay. And I could see this happening. You guys, this is the prime example of somebody who had every single excuse and legitimate reason in the book not to go out and help somebody else connect with God. He's only been with Jesus for one stinking day. What does he know? Jesus, I mean, I don't even know all the doctrine and theology. You're not going to have me go through an evangelistic class? Where's all the books I need to read first, and all the training that I need to have, and you know, what about, you know, are you just going to leave me alone? I'm just alone here. I can't do this on my own. Will you just leave me at least a couple guys, come back in a few weeks and pick them up? And I think maybe even the bigger part would have been this. Man, I have been abnormal and crazy and had that reputation all my life. I don't even know if these people are going to even listen to me because I don't even have credit. And maybe there's even a little bit of, I just want to be normal too. And I'm going to go out there and say all this stuff and share this with other people. I'm just going to be crazy all over again. I think that's the reason why some of us don't want to say anything either. Because Jesus did give him the reason, and I've already given it away, but he said to him, he didn't permit him, but he said, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. I got to go, but you're the one to help other people connect to God. You. This normal, he wasn't a pastor. He wasn't an evangelist. He wasn't some kind of leader thing. He's Crazy Larry. Something happened. Something clicked in Larry's mind, in his heart. I don't know what it was, but this normal guy who was all alone, and Jesus just said, man, you're the man. I want you to go, and I want you to share me with other people. Something clicked. I got a feeling it was that he understood how much Jesus loved him, and he understood how much he loved Jesus, and man, I just owe you my life, so whatever you do ask me to do, I will do because I love you. And then he saw how much Jesus loved these guys who were telling him to get out of his life. And I think he went, if you love these guys that much, then I'll love them that much. Something happened. He got up and stopped begging. And he went, this is crazy. In a whole new way. But okay. I'll do it. And I could see Jesus putting his hands on his shoulders and saying, you're the man. Trust me. And Jesus got in a boat And I could see as he got in the boat, the people behind Crazy Larry were cheering a little bit. Yes, finally. And they all walked to their homes for a normal life. Finally. But I bet you Crazy Larry didn't walk away. I bet you he stayed right on that seashore, right in the water, and watched for the last time that Jesus was on earth. Jesus. Leaving until probably he went out of his sight. And then I can imagine him just taking a breath. Whew. All right. Let's go. And he walked away as a man on a mission. A normal guy with no credentials and no training and nothing. And a terrible past. And he went on a mission. Look what it says. He even went farther than his friends. Look at verse 20. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis. That means the 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him. He didn't stop at his home. He didn't stop with his friends. He finished the town and went, where else can I go? Oh, there's a next town. And I'll go to the next town. And he went to the 10 cities that were in the area. And he told anybody who would listen anything. Do you know what he did? He just said what he knew. He just said what Jesus did for me. Like, what do I say? What do I do? Just be who you are and just share what you know. Just go from there. Just tell them what Jesus has done for you. This guy was just on a mission, and his mission was just showing people how his life had been so changed. And they probably looked at him and said, what's with all the scars? Well, let me tell you. And then let me tell you what changed me and what got me to stop cutting myself. I'll tell you. And I think it doesn't say how many people listened to him. It doesn't say how many churches were started. It didn't say how many people were converted. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. That's not the point. It does say that every single person marveled, and I would get that, wouldn't you? No matter what anybody said, they would go, are you serious? Whoa. And maybe a few of them said, tell me more. Really? Tell me about that. And you know what he did? He simply helped people connect to God everywhere he went. I'll do it. He went on that mission. You guys, that's our mission. This guy's an example to me. I want to be like him. I hope you do too. Our mission is to go out there and help people connect to God and to throw out all the reasons and all the excuses about why we're not doing it. And simply fall in love with Jesus, understand his love for us, and understand his love for all those people that really don't have a clue. And as we share with some of them, you know what? They're all going to marvel. Really? You believe that? Yeah. Really? This happened? Yeah. And some of them might actually say, really? I need that too. Tell me more. And you're going to help that person. Just help them connect to God. If one guy, one normal guy with no training, no credentials, no nothing, after one day being with Jesus, could make this much of an impact in people in 10 cities, what do you think that all of us could do? I seriously want to find out. Are you in? That's our movement. Let me pray for us. Lord, I do thank you for this example. I love it, Lord, that you give us normal people, normal examples, people that are just wrecked up to. I know that Crazy Larry was still, he wasn't perfect after this, but Lord, he just knew that you changed his life, and he showed people around him that his life was completely changed. And when they saw that, he also shared with them who changed it. Lord, that we would just simply do that, that those of us in this room would go home and we'd show people in our home, our spouses, our kids, the people that we work with, the people that we play with, that we would show them what difference you have made in our lives after we've turned our life over to you, and it would get people's attention and they would marvel. And then we would share with them, we would tell them what happened and who did it. And Lord, for people, any of them that say, I want to know more, that we would simply help them connect to God. In your name, I pray that we catch this vision and this mission. Amen.